Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your great and precious promises. I want to thank you, Lord, that by these promises we're born again. Lord, I want to thank you that you're faithful, that you're true, that your character is immutable, it's unchangeable, it's fully integrous. Lord, you're not a shifting shadow. You're not a dancing flame in that sense. You are true. You're solid. In fact, your word declares yourself to be a rock. You are the rock on which we're built. And we want to thank you, Lord, that in these times we have an anchor and our anchor holds firm.
Amen.
We want to thank you for your kindness to us. We just worship you today. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence right now in every home, in every heart, in every life. Lord, every person who's watching this, whether in Christchurch, Canterbury, whether it's in somewhere in New Zealand or overseas, we just thank you right now, Lord, for your presence to invade every home, your comfort to invade every home, your presence, your tangible presence to invade every home now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Nessa. Thank you, PJ.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for beaming in from your home and leading us like that. Thank you so much. God bless you. I want to share a few thoughts today about the fact that we do have an anchor. And I'm a sailor. Janet and I love to sail, and we enjoy boating. And I was raised in boats. And so the whole issue of anchoring and anchoring safely was very relevant for us.
Yeah.
And very relevant for the safety, not only of the vessel, but also the safety of the family. And so when I look into scripture, and especially into Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, we see this amazing passage that unfolds the need for us to be confident in the character of God and the goodness of God. So we don't want to be adrift at this time. We know that craft that are adrift, boats that are adrift, can end up in all sorts of difficulties. But we can be people who are not adrift.
Mm.
We don't have to be adrift, blown around by every wind of idea, every wind of media report, every wind of conspiracy theory, every wind of idea born from humanity. We can be stabilized and we can be steadied by focusing on the word of God and the promises of God. But not only that, realizing the promises of good, because the character of God is good,
mm-hmm.
is very good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if there was any chink, any chink, that's the right word, in the character of God, creation would not exist. It exists because he's holy, because he's pure, because he's righteous, and he's all-powerful, and he's true to his word. God cannot deny his own word, because his word is himself. So in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 to 20, from the New Living Translation. And this is set in the context of the writer of Hebrews talking about those who lived in confidence in the promises of God, and how the confidence in the promises of God enabled them to be patient, and enable them to endure, enable them to take a hold. So it's in the context of that. And he says in verse 13, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you. Passion Translation says, I will bless you over and over, something like that.
Mm.
I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. If you're in Christ today, you're actually one of those descendants, and you are part of the fulfillment of that promise. Even though thousands of years have passed by, God is faithful, absolutely faithful to that promise, and you are part of the fulfillment of that promise. If you are in Christ. Isn't that amazing?
So cool.
Then in verse 15, it says this, then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Verse 16, now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding, because they've called on somebody greater than themselves to hold them to the fulfillment of that oath.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 17, God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind.
Amen.
Wow, isn't it powerful?
That's so cool.
That we can be absolutely sure that God has never changed his mind concerning his promises to us.
What a relief that is.
What a relief. Oh, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, yeah.
Verse 18. So God has given both his promise and his oath. Mm-hmm. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. I just love that so much. It is impossible for him to lie. Mm. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us.
Amen.
Verse 19. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls.
Mm.
It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary, into God's very presence. This hope, this anchor cord, this anchor rope, which is connected from our hearts to the anchor, who is Christ, who has gone through the veil of death, gone through the veil of judgment, gone through the veil of being in a tomb, gone through the veil of being resurrected, and gone through the veil of ascending to the right hand of the Father. That anchor, who is Christ himself and the promises of God, is actually through all of that potential for corruption. God himself, the anchor of our souls, the promises of God are beyond corruption.
Mm.
They're God's DNA, they're God's word, they're God's sperma. They cannot be corrupted. It's incorruptible seed. And so regardless of the circumstances of life, the circumstances that the nations are in, whether it's because of agendas behind the scenes or whether it's purely fighting a virus, we don't know. People have got all sorts of ideas, but at the end of the day, we keep our eyes on Christ.
Amen.
At the end of the day, we've got this anchor for our souls.
Yeah.
And the anchor is to do with our confidence in the character of God, because he's true to his promises. Amen?
Mm.
So verse 20, we'll just finish this off. Jesus has already gone there for us. He's already gone into eternity. He's already gone to the right hand of the Father. He's already fulfilled his high priestly course in securing our salvation. That's the promises that are good for today and the life to come. He's already secured them for us. He's already finished his course. He's already gone there for us. He has become our eternal priest in the order of Melchizedek. And we haven't got time to go into all of the issues of Melchizedek.
No, we don't.
Or Melchizedek. How we pronounce that. I want to share a little personal story, and that relates to this, obviously, sets a bit of a scene for this. Many years ago, Janet and I and our three oldest children, Danielle hadn't been born yet, we lived in central Otago, and we had a trailer sailor. And this little trailer sailor was equipped with some bunks and a basic facilities. And we went on a two-day cruise up into Lake Wanaka, which was nearby, a lake that is beautiful to sail on. And we sailed up the lake, and we explored a little island up there. And then we stayed overnight, anchored right near the island. And so, of course, after many years of boating, which, as I said, I was raised sort of in boats, I knew how to anchor. I knew how to set the anchor and make sure it was set. But as the darkness settled and we tried to settle into our bunks, I don't know how many hours sleep I got. I was up every hour at least.
You were.
I was.
He was.
And I was peering through the window, which of course had condensation on it. And I was trying to peer through the darkness to see if I could get my bearings on the hills, you know, that were silhouetted. And I was trying to gauge whether we had moved. I had no confidence in whether I had anchored correctly, really, at the end of the day. Because you know what it's like. Things can look great during the daytime, but when night descends,
that's true. When
the uncertainties start to rise. That's when things start to play on the mind. That's when fears can get elevated. That's when uncertainties can become heightened. And in the early hours of the morning, I was up every hour peering through the window, trying to see whether we had moved or whether we were going to wake up way out in the middle of the lake somewhere, or worse, washed up on the rocks. And so Janet didn't get a lot of sleep. I didn't get a lot of sleep, but I think the kids slept absolutely fine.
They were fine.
They were oblivious. They had confidence in me, who had set the anchor.
They had childlike faith.
They had childlike faith, exactly. Exactly. And so when we woke up, we did actually get a little bit of sleep because we had to wake up. You know, you don't wake up from being awake, do you?
Not generally.
When we got out and checked the position, and you know what? We hadn't moved.
That's right.
We had not moved. That anchor held fast all through the night. Mm. The boat was safe all through the night. Mm. The only problem I had is that I didn't have confidence in the anchor. Mm. I didn't have confidence that I was anchored well. There was nothing wrong with the anchor. There was nothing wrong with the holding. There was nothing wrong with the rocks that that anchor had connected into. There was nothing wrong with the chain and the rope and the way it was tied to the boat. The only problem was my soul was not at rest. The anchor was fine. My soul was not at rest because my soul had lost confidence in whether I'd anchored correctly. Now, here's the deal. The anchor that we have in Christ is actually dependent on whether we have confidence in the integrity and the character of God. Mm. That is actually the anchor. The writer of Hebrews is actually saying that Abraham had confidence, and that was his anchor. The various other people that he's referring to who had inherited the promises had confidence in God, and that was their anchor. And so for us today, we need to shore up, in that sense, our confidence in the character of God. Mm. Call to remembrance his faithfulness. Call to remembrance acts of his kindness. Call to remembrance testimonies of his moving. And shore up your sense of confidence in his character. Read stories of other people's lives that God came through in great faithfulness and provision and shore up our faith. Because our faith, our confidence in his character is our anchor. And if we lose confidence, if we disconnect from our sense of the confidence of God and the power of his promises, then our souls don't have rest. They have stress. No rest, just stress. Mm. I was stressed all night, thinking about whether the boat would be washed up on rocks and we'd have a major repair job, or whether children were going to be safe, or whether we're going to find ourselves out in the middle of the lake and not that that would have been a major problem, but at night, it always seemed like a problem.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the issue with the anchor. It was the issue with my confidence. Mm-hmm. So how is our confidence? I want to read you one last passage. This is out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. This is out of the New King James Version. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity of our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete stature or standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching or every idea or every concept or every idea that comes out of the fear of man or the cunning craftiness of man. We won't be blown about by those things. We'll be mature because we'll be anchored. We'll be confident in the promises of God and confident in his character. Mm-hmm. Amen. We will not be influenced by when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Mm. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Wow. In these days in particular, it would be great for us to be anchored well. We need to be anchored well so that other people can come into the same sense of security that we can have.
Yeah.
I sometimes anchored our boat or moored our boat in a whole harbor of boats. If one of those boats came adrift, it could damage many other craft. So the best thing to do was for each boat, each owner of each boat, to make sure they were anchored well, to make sure the mooring lines were good, to make sure the anchor was appropriate for the size of the vessel the chain, the rope, all that sort of thing, and anchor well. And as we anchor well, even if a storm comes, even if the winds change, every boat in that harbour is going to be protected, is going to be safe. So my desire, my need is actually for myself and for those who I influence to stay well anchored. And my anchoring is in the confidence of the quality of God's character, his faithfulness and his goodness. Amen.
That's so good.
Amen. Thank you, Dana.
That blessed me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, so
I'd just love to pray right now.
Yeah.
And Father, I want to thank you for the power of your faithfulness, for the power of your character. Your word declares that you're not a man, you're not a fallen human, that you're subject to lies or to, you're not a man that you can lie. You're not somebody with a damaged character. You're true, you're pure, you're holy, you're righteous. You're kind, you're good. You're good through and through.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just do love, as Darren would say, you are love.
That's right.
You don't heal from time to time, you are healing. You don't deliver from time to time, you are deliverance. You are our wisdom. You are our life. And we thank you, Lord. We sure up our hearts today
yeah.
in the knowledge of your goodness and your power and your kindness.
Mm.
And it's not whether we live in wonderful comfort all the time. That's not really the point at the end of the day. The end of the day is we have sure promises. And our hope is in you who spoke those promises, who performs those promises, and who guarantees those promises. We thank you, Father. I pray that every heart, every mind under the sound of my voice, whether it's today or in the days ahead, would, Lord, just be able to be shored up in that sense of confidence in your character. Your word is full of promises. Your word is full of your power being manifest. So, Father, today we just place our trust again in your character,
sure.
in your goodness.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let peace descend on every heart.
Mm.
Let peace descend on every heart. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Darren, my friend, I'm going to hand over to you now. You're going to take it away and share your heart with us. God bless you.
Daz here. How are you? Hey, it's awesome to be able to share with you today. Coming at you from my little office in Ambley. And I believe God's going to speak to you in a powerful way today. I just pray right now, Lord, that every word that I speak would pierce the hearts of every single person that watches this in your precious name. You know, we're in lockdown and so many businesses have shut down. But I want you to know that heaven is not in lockdown. Heaven is not in shutdown. The cloud of witnesses are looking over the balustrade of heaven today, cheering you and me on to share the gospel wherever we go. And I think that is absolutely amazing. You see, the world is telling us to shut down, but the Bible is telling us to rise up. There has never been a better time for us, for you and me, to share the gospel than right now, because there's so much fear and anxiety all around the world right now, and they need peace. Well, we carry peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Isn't that amazing that we carry Jesus in us? So maybe it's time for you. I just want to challenge you a wee bit in the first 2 minutes. Maybe it's time to stop taking photos of cats and cakes and haircuts and posting them on your social media. Maybe it's time for you and I just to be boldly sharing Jesus every day on social media, reaching out to people on Messenger, via email, ringing people and just telling them about Jesus and just praying for them. Today is the day of salvation, right now, right now. Maybe you're watching this today and you've been struggling with God. I want you to know he hasn't been struggling with you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And nothing you can do will make him love you more than what he does right now. You see, he's knocking, but will you get up off the couch and open the door and invite him in? He loves you. He loves you. I just felt there's a verse in the Bible that's had a massive impact on me. Luke 17, verse 32. It's only three words, but it's had a massive impact. Those three words are, remember Lot's wife. Why should we remember Lot's wife? Maybe she had heaps of Insta followers. Maybe she was super cool. Maybe she was a good cook. Maybe she was an amazing dancer. Or maybe God killed her. You see, the same God that you and I love, that you and I worship, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He killed her. And I believe that we've taken this whole grace thing a little bit too far. Papa. Yes, he is the father to the fatherless. And his love captivated my heart. And it's his love that has kept me. Yes, he is my father and I adore him. But I believe we need to have a healthy fear of God. And I believe this has not been taught a lot around the body of Christ, and it needs to, especially in the end time harvest. You see, he's not up there with a big stick wanting to hit you. He hasn't changed. He's full on, man. Like, he's seriously fierce. He's seriously full on. Yes, I know he is the father to the fatherless. He is the great I am. I get that. He's Jehovah Jireh. But I think we need to fear him and be in awe of him. Because for me in my life, when I started having a healthy fear of God, it made me just love Jesus more. It almost was pushing me closer to Jesus. The more I would fear him, the more I would love him. The more I'd go, oh my goodness, you are so massive. There's not two gods in the Bible. There's not the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. It's one book, one God, one Father, one Son, one Holy Ghost in one book. We can't be going, okay, he's really cold now and chilled. No, he's not. Ask Ananias and Sapphira, who are in the New Testament, ask him how chilled Father is. No, he's not. He hasn't changed. He hates sin. He can't be around sin. And he doesn't want you living in sin. That's why he gave us Jesus. That's why the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. You know, there's so much debauchery and junk, and the world is screaming so much stuff at us so loud. But if we would fear him, we wouldn't fear them. We wouldn't fear man if we feared him. And not feared, please hear my heart, not feared in a fear in a weird way where you're terrified of God. I want to read you the psalm very quickly. You okay? Someone has to say it. Okay, Psalm 2, verse 11 says this. Now, this was written, most theologians and historians say this was written 1,044 years before Christ. Before Christ. Check it out. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. I might just read that again. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son. Remember, 1,044 years before. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and his way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. He's the most incredible father, but he's an almighty God. We need to be in such awe of him, because the more I see the personality of the Father, the more I go, wow, what you did with Jesus is amazing. That Jesus would be sweating blood in the garden going, Father, is there any other way we can do this? Could you take this cup from me? Not my will, but yours be done. As he was dying on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Bible says this, it pleased the Father to bruise the Son. It pleased God to see his son bruised and beaten and dying on that cross. It pleased him, man. Why? Because he loves us that much. He loves us that much that he sent his son into the world to take my sin, to take your sin, to take all our sickness on his back. His back got plowed like a farmer plows a field. For our sickness, for the coronavirus. That's why we don't need to be afraid of it, man. Jesus loves you. He is alive from the dead, and he's got a plan for your life. Don't let sin rob you, man. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Sin pushes us away from him, man. Today is your day. Today is your day. He loves you. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus and you've just let so much stuff come in the way. Push it to the side, man. Everyone has a throne in their body. Who sits on your throne? It might be sport, it might be family, it might be this or might be this. Make sure that Jesus Christ sits on the throne of your life because he loves you, man. I want to pray for you today. If you've been struggling, if you've never given your life to Jesus, today is your day. Today, I'm going to lead you through a prayer. There is no sinner's prayer. It's not in the Bible. It's not. There's no special golden ticket into heaven. For goodness sake, his son got ripped apart so you have a place in heaven. He loves you, man. I just want to pray with you now. I want to lead you through a prayer. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that Father rose him up from the dead, you're going to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from yourself? Saved from corona? No. Saved from eternal hell. I want to pray for you right now. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Doesn't matter where you are right now. I want you could be in front of family or friends. You could be wherever. Kneel down. Kneel down. Kneel down. Because I want you to know that Father's looking down with a great big smile, just ready to wrap his arms around you. Just like the father ran out to the prodigal son, pulled his robe up and he ran to him, man. God's running to you today. Just say this after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you for today. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash me clean, Lord. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Sit on the throne of my life. Today, I don't just give you my heart, I give you my life. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you did for me. Jesus, please give me the boldness and courage to preach your gospel every day. Amen and amen. Friend, if you prayed that today for the first time, message us and we'd love to be in touch with you. If you've been struggling and today you rededicated your life, today we want to get in touch with you. God bless you guys. I love you heaps. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Darren. That was very powerful, my friend.
Thank you, Darren.
And wonderful to see your face and hear your heart.
Yeah.
Janet, where would we be if Jesus hadn't have got a hold of our
lives? I had to imagine. We did, I imagine, actually. Mm.
It's a terrible thing to think about, although it's good to think about
where
we'd be if Jesus hadn't got a hold of our lives.
Yeah, just stop and appreciate what he's actually done.
One thing I never want to lose is the awe of our salvation.
That's right.
So Janet and I have been saved now for many years, but of course it's a growing journey and we're still being transformed by the power of his word and by the power of his love and his kindness. And so I don't know where we'd be if at 19 and at 18 and a bit we hadn't committed our lives to the Lord and received forgiveness and received eternal life. That set us on a whole journey in life that all I can say is, although there's been challenges, and most of those challenges have been our own making, because God's needed to sort our attitudes, ideas, judgments, stinking thinking, all of that journey. But the thing is, the power of his word displaces that stuff and establishes his word in us, and it transforms our lives. And so we've seen so many good things that God has done in our lives through the years. Not only healing and deliverance and restoration and strengthening and empowering and all that in our lives, but also in our children's lives.
Yeah.
And the way, you know, there's been wonderful healings. There's been wonderful things turned around that looked really threatening disaster.
Even this week.
Just the way God has moved on behalf of our son and daughter-in-law and our two grandsons has just been absolutely astounding.
Yeah.
And so I cannot commend Jesus to you more. He is so good. The Father is so good. He is so kind. Is he somebody to be feared in the sense of awe and respect and honor? Absolutely. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. But the wisdom that God has given us is that we receive Jesus, that we receive his invitation to be reconciled or made right again with God the Father. In that relationship, we will find out who we actually are, not the way the world has shaped us, not the way the enemy has shaped us, not even the way we've shaped us, but we'll find out who we really are, who he really is, and what his eternal, wonderful purpose is for us. I cannot recommend receiving Christ and receiving his forgiveness and eternal life more. I cannot recommend it more. So I invite you once again, just as Darren has, I invite you once again to receive Christ. To, if you prayed with Darren, even if you want to pray again, and just now that we've talked a little more. But I want to tell you this, if you pray and if you receive Christ or you come back to him, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you via the communication that's on the bottom of this Facebook page and on the bottom of this feed. And we'd love to be able to help you, communicate with you, send you resources at the moment. And then one day when we're free from this isolation deal, then we'll be able to meet each other and become part of a family. We welcome in Jesus' name. So I just want to pray. Is there anything you want to say or add?
No, I think that's great. I think you covered it. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Feel free to comment on the bottom. That'll help us establish contact with you. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, team, for helping us this morning. Simone and Ruth and Chris and all the others who have helped make this possible. Thank you so much for watching, everybody. Thank you for your comments. God bless you. We love you. Have an awesome life. Father, just lift up the light of your countenance upon every person. Let them experience your presence powerfully. Let them experience your healing power. Let them experience a lift in faith and encouragement in Jesus' name. Let them experience the power of your peace in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that our time right now, we're in a move of God right now. We're in a move of God right now. Many people may be distracted by the events in the world, but the bottom line is we're in a move of God right now. Now is harvest now. So I encourage you, everybody, to reach out to somebody, reach out to people. As Darren said, Facebook, telephone calls, whatever the case may be, because there are people that are just waiting to hear the good news, waiting to come back home, waiting to come to the Father in Jesus' name. God bless you, everybody. Have an awesome life. God bless you.